Heavenly Father, Lord, how great, how wonderful your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness. And Lord, how we need to be reminded of that each and every day, each and every week. As time continues to march on, we needed to be reminded of how good you are. And that you are our rock, our faithfulness. Help us to cling to that today. Help us to hold to that promise. To let it be an anchor to our soul so that we might move forward for you. We might do what you would call us to do. And that we might see that gospel, that goodness, change other lives as well. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise. Lord, as we open your word, help us, Lord, to see your truth. Guide us now in your word as only you can. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And our kids are going to be dismissed for power up. Take your Bibles with me this morning to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, as we continue working our way through the book of Acts and all the excitement and everything that's happening here. We see with the early church, but also gives us a wonderful picture of what can happen for our lives as well. And this morning, as we begin to look here in Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7, I've entitled the message this morning, The Value of Service. This passage is a place, it's a precedent that we see in Scripture for the role of deacon. And it has a lot to apply to the role of deacon that we see here in these seven verses. But also we see in the process the value of what serving does in the nature of the church, in the growth of the church. Now, we like to go to places that have good customer service, right? How many of you will skip a restaurant and go to another one just because you know the service is going to be better? I mean, are you going to go to the Forney Chili's or are you going to go to the Taro Chili's? It just depends, right? Which is going to have the right kind of service. And then if you want to get in and out of a drive-through line, you're going to go to Chick-fil-A. Because no matter how many cars are there, I mean, you're going to get in and out because of the service, right? We value service. We value being served. We value that. We can recognize that when we're in this world. What we're going to see today is the value of service, not only in the community and the life here of the church, but the value of service towards the gospel going forward. The gospel spread. And so I want us to look here and see the nature of what's going on. Look here in Acts chapter 6, and let's read verses 1 through 7. It says, Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to to the faith. The value of service. When we arrive here in this scene, we now are seeing that there's a little bit of time that's elapsed from chapter 5 and all that we saw going on in the early church and the different things from the day of Pentecost. And it seems like we were really hitting these things going on one right after another since the day of Pentecost. And there was seeing so much growth that was happening from Pentecost and the 3,000 and then the healing of the lame man and what happened there and Peter and John being imprisoned and then coming out and all that was going on with their preaching. And all of a sudden 5,000 men are added to the Lord. Believers are being added. This church is growing. They're meeting and they've been going through all these different types of trials and persecutions and attacks. They felt the persecution from the outside. They felt the attack from the outside of the people telling them, the Pharisees, the Sadducees telling them, no, you can't preach Jesus. You can't preach this and charging them and even to the point of beating them. You're not going to preach Jesus anymore. Remember what Peter said. You have to judge whether it's right to do this or not, but we're going to follow God and we're going to do God's will. And they kept preaching. And we see this happening and all this going on from the persecution from the outside. And then we saw Ananias and Sapphira and we saw the attacks from the inside as a spiritual deception that was trying to rise up through Ananias and Sapphira. And we saw God work in that situation to keep the church moving and pure as it worked through this growth. And then we see again that they're preaching and they're arrested and the apostles are put into prison in a public prison. And the angel comes and releases them and tells them, go, keep preaching. So they go from prison and they go back exactly to doing what put them into that prison. And they go back to the temple and are preaching and teaching Jesus. And then from there, they are gathered again. They're standing before the Sanhedrin and the group again and the who's who. Why are you doing what we told you not to do? We're going to obey God. We're going to follow God. They attack again from the outside. All this is going on. So all that has happened. The church has grown. The church is multiplying. We are seeing people being added to the church. And now as we begin chapter 6, it says now in these days. So there's been a time elapsed from what had happened early now to where they are at in this point. And we see that as this church is growing and as it's getting into the life of being the church and growing in this time and in this way, more issues begin to rise up. We see another distraction, another complaint. You know, sometimes there are distractions that really don't mean something. And then there are distractions that really do mean something. And here we have a situation that rises up that has a point to either hurt or hinder the growth of the gospel and the growth of the church in this time. As it says there in verse 1, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So here's the situation. Remember, as we saw in chapter 4, that as they were coming together, they were holding everything common. They were pulling their resources, and some were selling lands and providing those proceeds for the church, and everyone had everything in common, and no one had anything in need because they were supplying for one another. They were meeting physical needs, and part of that was this ministry to the widows. The widows would have had an incredibly tough situation in this cultural climate. And now in the midst of that daily distribution and the daily provision for needs, this division, this complaint has rose up because the Hellenists have been neglected versus the Hebrews. And these were all Jews, except you had a Hebrew section and you had a Hellenist section. The Hellenist section is a group of the Jews that had more of the Greek culture mindset. A lot of this arose from the dispersion. When they were dispersed, when they were moved out and they worshiped in the synagogues in different places. And some of these Jews would gravitate more towards the Greek language and these different aspects. And so they had more of the Hellenist, the Greek culture than the Hebrew Jews there in Jerusalem. And so as the church is growing and as the diversity is changing in the midst of this church, we are seeing in this midst that all of a sudden that the Hellenist widows were not getting the daily distribution like the Hebrew widows. And this is something that the church is going to continue to work with as the gospel goes forward, because when the gospel begins to go to the Gentiles, the Jews are going to kind of fight back against that as well. So this is a complaint that's rising up, and it's something that could be detrimental to the gospel going forward. Detrimental to the work of the gospel and how it's moving forward. And so as this is happening, this complaint rises up, we see the value of service. The first thing we see is the value of service is people focused. It's people focused. As this complaint comes up, it wasn't just bypassed. It wasn't just, we'll get around to it. It'll be taken care of. Notice what happens in verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So now to address the situation, to address the people in need, and to address what's going on, the 12 apostles have assembled the full number. They've assembled the church. They've assembled the whole congregation. This was not just a backroom meeting. This was not something that they just decided on and brought it forth. We are seeing that everyone's together, and that's going to come to play in just a minute. But as they are, they're wanting to bring a remedy for the complaint. That remedy, as we see, is it was going to tax them and their ministry of preaching and teaching the word of God to be able to address the situation head on. So that's where they say in verse 2, it's not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. The word here for serving tables, this is the word diakonos. That's where we get the word deacon. Now, this word in the New Testament is used over 30 times. But inside of that 30 times, only 3 times are referring to the specific office of deacon. It's used primarily throughout the New Testament in the picture of serving. The very word diakonos, it means servant. It means to minister. It's never used as a ruling agent. It's never used in the sense of lording over. It's always used in the sense of serving. And in fact, it is applied to several different individuals throughout the New Testament. It's applied to the followers of Jesus in general. It's applied to Phoebe. It's applied to Paul and Apollos. It's applied to Tychicus. It's applied to Epaphras. It's applied to Timothy to describe the action of serving. And so when we see this brought up, the remedy, the value of service is that it was people focused to serve people. So many times we attach greatness and we attach power to having a title, to having an authority. And we want the titles and we want the positions and we want to be placed in these certain positions so that we can be ingrained with all the power. But what did Jesus teach us? In Matthew chapter 20, he tells us this. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, he says, "But Jesus called them to him and he said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" The picture of service is running throughout this value here in this picture of valuing people to serve them and to give into them and put the energy in towards them, not in the sense of ruling over, not in being able to just tell people what to do, not being able to just command it. I'll never forget sitting in my ordination service and having Nicole's grandfather, who trained my dad in the ministry, standing there preaching a charge to me from 1 Peter chapter 5 and reminding me that in the pastorate and in the ministry, it is not to lord over God's heritage. You're the under shepherd to serve, even as God came and through Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve. To give his life as a ransom. People focus and the desire to serve the tables, the desire to serve these widows, these people. And it produced an idea of order. That there was a picture, the apostle says, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve the tables. It's not that the serving was not important, it's that there was an order to what they were trying to accomplish in the church as a whole. The apostles had a position, and it was important at that point in time for them to spend the time dealing with the word of God, to spend the time as they were formatting here in the beginning of the church, putting these teachings together, pulling all that Christ had taught them, and spending the time in word in the ministry of prayer. They said, we're going to devote ourselves in verse 4 to prayer and to ministry of the word. It has its place, and there is an importance that's placed on the ministry of the word. And in that order, then, service is still important. So the service has the idea of both the preaching of the word and the serving of physical needs. And it both centers for the benefit of people. It's people focused. You see, when you see this idea of service and you see the fact that this precedent that where we get to build the office of deacon, it's built around this idea of serving. And the use of the term as primarily the idea of serving and ministering founds the role of deacon specifically as a leader in serving, not a ruler. Too many times we have seen the role of deacon and deacon boards become ruling agents in churches. And the deacon board, as we see from the president of chapter 6 here, is it was meant to be the leaders in serving. It was people focused. The second thing we see was it was the value of services in being congregationally involved. Congregationally involved. As we noticed, as the apostles, they summoned the full number of the disciples. They summoned the full congregation. And then notice verse 5. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas. He was the server of cheese. Dramatic pause there for the laugh, right? Come on. And Nicolaus. So the congregation is choosing these. The congregation is bringing them before him. In verse 6, they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on him. The value of service was so valuable to the congregation that the whole congregation was involved in this process. Just like when we began the process of nominating deacons, it was the whole congregation involved in nominating the men for this place, this position and office of being a deacon. The congregation is involved because when the congregation involves and when they're picking out from the body, a couple things happen. First off, it puts people in the office that are already exhibiting the leadership of service. People have seen, hey, they have this disposition of service. They have the servant's heart. They have the ability to fulfill these requirements. The congregation is picking it out. It is not a political power play. It's the body bringing together the men for this position. And they picked out Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see a lot more about Stephen coming up. They pick out these men because they see these things evident in their life. The body nominates and they pick out from them. It keeps it to this position of service. And then once they see it, and once they you see the lives, you see how they fit this position. It says they set them before, they prayed, they laid their hands on them. We see this in the process of ordination, the process of setting someone aside for this work. The process of ordaining someone towards the deacon ministry is the process of the church body recognizing that they were fit for it. They were called to this position. They show the characteristics and fulfill the requirements as laid out in Scripture. And we are reserving this person for this aspect of gospel ministry. It's a great way to safeguard the right people in the right position. That way they can take the time for examining, take the time for commissioning so that they can understand their position as a servant. So we see the congregation is involved in it. And so the value of the service means that it was a value of the body, the whole body coming together to produce this. And that led to the last thing, which are results produced. The value of service here now, we see the effects in verse 7. It says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, there's something interesting that's happening in the text here in the verbs that are being used. Because the verb tenses that are being used, it goes from kind of telling a story in the first six verses and giving the narrative. And here in verse 7, the verb tenses change to a tense. It's called the imperfect tense, and it signifies ongoing action. So when it says the word of God continued to increase, that's the idea, that it was an ongoing action. The number of disciples multiplied, ongoing action. A great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Ongoing action. Something incredible is happening here when the church came together, worked together, produced this opportunity together, produced an order so the apostles can continue in the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the word, so that men can be chosen for help in serving the tables, so both the Hebrews and the Hellenists and their widows could be taken care of in the daily distribution, that there was an order that was coming together, and that order continued so that the gospel would not be hindered. Imagine if this complaint continued. Imagine if it continued and how it could have disrupted and divided this body even as they began. But here we see people coming in, stepping in to serve. The apostles were able to focus on the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word, the ministry of prayer. And the deacons and these servants came in and stepped in to make sure that people and physical needs were being met. And all of this together helped build the congregation through the work of the gospel. The word of God continued to increase. Results were produced. The word increased. The ministry of the word was protected. The ministry, the opportunity of preaching and teaching was protected. The opportunity for the word to go forth from house to house and people to grow in the word of God was protected. And yet people were being served. People were getting their needs met. People were seeing the result of people coming together with the same mindset to see the gospel go forward. Disciples were multiplied. I don't know about you, but hopefully you learned in math that multiplication is a lot more than addition. We saw earlier on in the life of the church, 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000 souls were added to the body. 5,000 were added. Now we are seeing the term multiplied. Now the growth is beginning to happen in an exponential fashion. Multiplication is always going to be more than addition. Because it not only does it bring us results in the moment, but multiplication and reproduction gives us results into the future. It allows it to continue. It allows it to continue to go forth and on and on. And we are to multiply. We are to reproduce not only into the today's generation, but also into the generations to come through this multiplication. The number of the disciples is growing. The word of God is, the ministry is continuing to increase. The disciples are being multiplied, and even the priests are becoming obedient. I tell you, that's a revival right there. You're getting the priests saved, all right? And you're sitting there thinking, there's probably a lot of preachers that need to get saved. Imagine if these are coming to revival and these are coming to this point of change where those are coming to realize what Jesus Christ has done, who this risen Lord is, and now the priests that were preaching one thing are now preaching Christ. Imagine the revival that's coming. The results that are happening here, the ongoing results, they came because there was an order applied to the work of the church. It wasn't just this one particular role. It wasn't just one person to fulfill all the duties. It was the body together to having order to these roles, having order into these opportunities, to have people to be able to serve physical needs, to have people to be able to minister the word. The key is the value of service. See, when serving is valued, the ministry of the word and physical needs contribute to the gospel spread. Then you see the word going forth. Then you see people seeing the life change happening, and you see them coming together with a different heart, showing a love for one another, a care and concern for one another, a mutual care that begins to happen. And you see the body built up, the body edified, the people, the community around that begins to see that, and they see the effect of the preached word and the actions of the people. All of it comes together and it helps to spread the gospel. You see, in this moment when position and authority to rule, when position and authority to influence is greater than the heart of service, then ministry will use people. But when service and love for people is greater, ministry will build people. When this service is valued, the word can continue to go forward. People can be served and their needs met, and the gospel can continue on. And there's a place for everyone to serve. There's a place for everyone to come together. While we see this in, as a precedence for the office of deacon, it reinforces what Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, that we are all ministers. We all have a place to minister. We all have a place and a provision. You say, well, you know what? I can't do physically all these things that the other person. There are jobs of service in a ministry that are not physical. And if everything else fails, we need prayer warriors that are intentionally lifting people up in prayer. There is always a place to serve. There's always something that can be done. And in the body coming together, when we value that service, the ministry of the word, the physical needs, it all comes together to see the gospel go forward. But it wasn't about who's got what authority, who's got what position. It was about service, serving the word of God, serving tables so that the word of God can continue to increase and it can continue to make a difference. Churches need more servants than they need rulers. Will we be a servant, or are we trying to be a ruler? Shall we stand this morning? We stand with our heads bowed. this early church gives us so many pictures. The word, the revelation that we see in Acts gives us the opportunity to see God's principles, to see what He has outlined and how this works together. And the ministry of the word increased because these roles allowed it to. Are we ready to serve? Are we wanting to rule? And that question hits to each and every one of us personally. Am I ready to serve? Am I ready to find a place to do what God has allowed me and then gifted me and a position to put me in? Or am I going to rule over my own heart? Am I going to still keep that control? Oh, I tell you, when you put yourself in that place of service and when you put yourself in that spot to be used of God, there's nothing greater to see God take your efforts and multiply it and make life changes in people's hearts and lives. Servants, or are we rulers today? We need more servants so that the gospel continue to go forward. This morning, as we come to this time of response, the altar's open, a place where you can lay your burdens or where whatever God is dealing with in your heart through His Spirit this morning, can come to Him. I'm going to be down front. If you need to know the power of that gospel, I'd love to show you now or after the service. Show you what that gospel can do in transforming your life. If you need a place to come to be a part of, I'd love to show you how to come and be a part. Need to follow the Lord in baptism. Now is the time to respond. But as we sing, do what God is laying on your heart. Our Father, work now in this time. Use this time for your glory, for your honor. That you might be glorified, that your word might be effectual. And we'll give you all the praise. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As we sing, the altar's open.